ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः दि एम् आफ् दि उपनिषद् इस् टु हेल्प् अस् डिस्कवर् दि फ्रीडम् which is already there as our own nature, thereby free ourselves from the bondage of samsara. And to discover this freedom which is already there, we have discovered the very truth itself, truth of the universe, implied by the term Brahman. And the truth, implied by the term Brahman, has to be discovered as our own real nature, as our own self. So Upanishad says that you are already Brahma. And in Bhagavad-gita Upanishad, the teaching is given differently, the same teaching. But Upanishad has its own way of making us understand this fact. So the very first chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad we have been seeing for quite some time. When the topic of creation comes, there's a discussion on this creation, the srishtihi. The srishti is presented in such a way that the Lord created the entire world of objects. Then Lord also created the instruments of enjoyment. Then the abodes of enjoyment. And having created the objects of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment and the abodes of enjoyment, still the enjoyment has to happen. There must be the enjoyer. The Lord Himself entered into the creation as the enjoyer. And the statement, we have to remember, Srishtihi, the discussion on Srishti, analysis of Srishtihi, is only a prakriya used to help us arrive at the truth, thereby to negate the very creation. It is not to establish the creation, if you remember. So the statement of the Upanishad which reveals the entry of Paramatma, Bhagavan, Ishvara, Brahma into the creation is called Anupravesha Shrutihi. And we saw in the previous classes, Bhagavan has entered means it's only a figurative expression to say that Bhagavan, the Paramatma is available in the very creation. See, where the wave is, there alone water is available for discovery. You can't go and search for the water elsewhere. Where the ocean is, where the wave is, there alone water is available also. Where the furniture is, there the wood is available. You can't go and search for it outside somewhere. So where the universe is, there alone Paramatma is there. So Paramatma is very much there in the very creation. The universe. Which means how, where. So Anupravesha Shrutihi, the statement revealing the entry of Paramatma into the universe, into the creation, is only just to say that Paramatma is available for recognition on the very creation. That to the creation is the entry is mentioned only after the Upanishad talks about the mind. So, universe, because mind stands for what? Instrument of enjoyment. Bhagavan created the objects of enjoyment. Paramatma created the instruments of enjoyment. No? Then abode of enjoyment. The instrument of enjoyment includes what? Mind also. So, having created the instruments of enjoyment, now in terms of sense organs and the mind, Bhagavan entered means the entry in implies only Bhagavan's availability, Paramatma's availability in the very mind. When you say Paramatma alone has entered, Paramatma is available very much there in the mind as the witness of the mind. Sakshi Rupena, Paramatma is all the time available means already the Pravesha Shruti itself makes it very clear. Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikyam. Isn't it? The very entry statement itself, Bhagavan's Paramatma's availability as a witness in the mind, that itself proves what? This Paramatma alone is there as the Jiva, as the witness means already that reveals the identity between the individual and the total. Isn't it? Is it or not? It reveals. Therefore, even though the entry statement reveals the Bhagavan Paramatma's availability there, but still that also indirectly hints the fact that Paramatma alone is there as the Jiva. There is no Jiva other than Paramatma. And Paramatma is Jivatma, Jivatma is Paramatma. The identity also is revealed. And that fact is not acceptable for many people. Therefore, they had their own reasons to say, to accept that. And Shankara Bhagavatpada really negated all the different views. And finally, definitely, he made it very clear, availability implies only, the entry implies only availability. Paramatma is there, the mind, in every mind, as the very witness of the mind. And the witnessing Paramatma, obtaining in every mind, is one and the same Paramatma. There are not many knowers, there are not many observers, the only Paramatma is there as the knower of all the minds. The minds are varied and many, but Paramatma, when obtaining as the witness of the mind, witness of the minds is one and the same. Therefore, that itself proves Paramatma and Jivatma being identical, one and the same. Then, now, okay, Paramatma is there as the Sakshi. And in the last class, last Saturday, actually what I thought, started what, a lot of disturbance in the class when we were there. If Paramatma is there as the Sakshi, as the witness of the mind, in every mind means, how far, what extent Paramatma has entered? The question comes, and as we saw last class, Paramatma is very much available always because we had to remember important nature of the Paramatma in this context. Sarvagatatvam. Sarvagatatvam means the all-pervasiveness. So all-pervasiveness is the nature of the reality implied by the term Atma. Isn't it? Therefore, all-pervasive means all-pervasive. And also, eternity. Sarvagatatvam and Nityatvam. Paramatma is eternal, means Paramatma is beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly there. And Paramatma is all pervasive, means there is no place Paramatma is not. It's very important to understand these two factors. Time-wise limitlessness and spatially limitless. Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Paramatma is sarvagataha, therefore all pervasive, spatially limitless. Paramatma is nityaha, your time-wise limitless. So time-wise, spatially limitless means there's no time, no place, Paramatma is not there. Isn't it? Therefore, the movement or nothing is possible, Paramatma is there. Which means, so here, Now, we have this Paramatma is available for recognition, the very srishti, very creation, especially the very mind itself means. How Paramatma is available, how Paramatma is there always. For us, we need to recognize. Upanishad says, Paramatma is nitya, Paramatma is sarvagataha. Sarvagatatvam, all pervasiveness is the nature of the reality, Atma. And timelessness is the nature of the reality, Atma. Upanishad says, this is a fact. But this fact must become very clear for us. Only then our moksha is there. So how to understand this, all pervasiveness, then? How to understand Paramatma? How? See, Paramatma is always there, means, so Upanishad uses the word there. There are two ways Paramatma is there. Two ways Paramatma, in two different forms, Paramatma is available for recognition all the time. And for which, I think I gave an example also last class. It's not my personal example. Alshankar Bhagavatpada's example himself here. That given any object, it can be a knife or a razor, or any a pencil or pen, any object, you can take it and put it inside the box. Okay? So an object, a pencil or pen, a razor or a blade or a thing, when you put it inside, it's the case. So how is it? How is it available? Where is it? Kept it closed means that whatever kept inside the case, the bag or box, doesn't occupy the entire space, isn't it? It only occupies a specific area of the box, isn't it? When you put a pencil inside a box, how much does the pencil occupy the box? Only in a given, a specific area of the box. No? It's filled with that pencil. That touch, that is called, you can say, Visesha Vrittihi. Visesha Vrittihi. Visesha Vrittihi means specifically a given object, a specifically available in a given space, in a specific place. It is a specific availability of the specific thing in a specific region. Is called Visesha Vrittihi. Is it clear? Suppose we ask you, where is Sabhapati Ayya? No, in Grove Park, in South London, Southeast London, Grove Park, in Binaji's house, in the main hall, in Chahi City. No, it's a specific person. You are not pervading everything, isn't it? A given area, a given place, in a small chair, not in all over the house. In a given place, isn't it? Given area, you're available. Means that is called Visesha Vrittihi. Specifically, you are available here for recognition. You want to meet him on Saturday, every Saturday, after 9:30 until 12 o'clock. You had to go to this house, this place. He is available there. Isn't it? That is where he is available. A specific time also. Not every day. On every Saturdays, like that. There is a specific time or a specific person, the specific object, availability, and a specific day, specific time, specific place is called what now? Visesha Vrittihi. Is it clear? No. And Shankara gives example for this, the razor kept in the razor's bag. I explained this word. Sanskrit word kshuram means razor, and kshuradhanam means a razor's case. The razor kept in a razor's case means is there only given specific place. I think my example is better example now, isn't it? Specific. Now, this is one example. So, how specifically you are available for recognition like that? Atma also is specifically available for recognition where? In every human being. The only Atma Which Atma? All pervasive, everlasting, eternal reality, implied by the term Atma, is specifically available for recognition. And another thing is, example he gives is, the Aranihi. I told you, Aranihi is a wood, the wooden container. And where they use the wooden rod, and usually they churn the wooden rod against the wooden container called Aranihi, and the priest used to produce the fire in the place of ritual yagyashalas to kindle the fire for performing rituals. Because the Veda, no, Shankara Bhagavad Pada must have been seeing only all the time this yagyashalas, yagashalas, performing rituals, no. So this example is very easy for him, it comes to his mind. So what he wants to say is, because in Vedic tradition, fire means always Arani comes to mind. Why? For any Vaidika, suppose if you ask, fire means what? Fire means people who eat well, immediately cooking will come to the mind. If you ask any woman, not nowadays, okay, in those days, fire means what? Immediately kitchen will come to the mind. Depending upon what you are used to, isn't it? Kitchen will come to mind. Oh, fire means kitchen. Why? That is where you use the fire to cook food. You are electrician. Fire means what? For him, fire means you need to think of any transformers. He is electrician, all the time working there. His mind will be going there. An ordinary house will think of the fire in the kitchen. Like what you are associating yourself with, that will come to your mind quickly. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada, as a Vaidika, as a traditional, coming from a traditional background family, all the time associated with what? The performance of rituals and pujas and things like that. For him, fire means immediately what now? For all of us, suppose generally, if you live in Australia all the time, quite often you at least hear about the fire, the woods, immediately think about the entire wood will come to your mind. Depending upon what you are exposed to, what you are associated with. So in Vedic tradition, fire means immediately people think of what only? Fire ritual. And the ritual means how do they produce the fire? They are only using this wooden container and the wooden rod, isn't it? They churn against it and then the fire will come. Therefore, in that wooden, when they produce the fire, he says, how does the fire get produced? Is fire newly created? No. Fire is not newly created. Fire is already there. Fire is already there. And which part of the wooden container has fire? Fire is there all over, isn't it? The entire wood, you can take any wood for that matter, not only Aranihi, any wood, which part of the wood fire is? I tell you, fire is fire all pervasively. The entire wood, isn't it? If you have a big, huge log of wood, the entire wood is pervaded by the fire. Similarly, here also, even this wooden container called Aranihi, also, if you see, the whole wood, fire is there all over. But when before Mathanam, is fire available for recognition? No. Fire is imperceptible. Fire is not available for recognition. Fire is very much there, but is unmanifest. Fire is in a potential form. Potential condition, isn't it? Therefore, when that fire is there, non-recognizable. Fire is, please I am using the verb, fire is pervading the entire Arani, everywhere. Fire is very much there, but still fire is not recognizable, not available for perception or recognition. Is it clear? So, where is the fire? Everywhere. All over the wood fire is. But do you see the fire? No. Can you prove the fire is? No. When the fire is pervading everything, not being available for recognition, we call what? General, isn't it? It's called Samanya Vrittihi. So, Samanya Vrittihi, Visesha Vrittihi. So, it is said here, Atma, this all-pervasive, eternal, the time-wise limitless, spatially limitless reality implied by the term Atma, Paramatma, Brahma is available in every being. How? Every human mind. In every human being. How it's available in every one of us, every being? It obtains in two forms. As in Visesha Vritya, Samanya Vritya. Specifically, it's available for recognition. Generally, it's also available for recognition. Generally obtains non-recognizably. Samanya Vrittihi means what? It generally obtains non-recognizably, like the fire in the wood, pervading the entire being, specifically also recognizably available. So specifically recognizably obtains. Generally, non-specifically, all pervasively, non-recognizably also obtains. Obtains. Recognizably obtains, non-recognizably obtains. Generally obtains, specifically obtains. And specifically it is there recognizable, generally it is there non-recognizable. Is it clear? Now, so Samanya Vrittihi, Visesha Vrittihi. We have to understand. So when does Atma specifically obtain? When does Atma recognizably? When does Atma non-recognizably, generally obtain? If you ask, again, Upanishad Shankara says, in deep sleep state, the all-pervasive, timeless reality implied by the term Atma generally obtains. There's no physical body, sense organs, mind, everywhere through thick and everywhere, pervading in and through everywhere. The whole physical system. You can say even a dead body. In dead body, Atma obtains generally. He doesn't say that, I'm just telling. In dead body also, don't need to worry. In dead body, Atma available generally. So, Samanya Vrittya, that's why we don't need to worry. Atma is there or not, the dead body. Because dead body is in the Atma, isn't it? The Atma pervades, there is no time Atma is not there. Atma is very much there. In a dead body, Atma is there. Generally. Like what? So, in the person who is fast asleep also what? Well, what Atma? Atma is there generally. Which part of Atma? Which part of the body? Atma pervades. Which part of the Arani does fire pervade? Entire. The entire Arani. You can't say this particular area Atma is not there, fire is not there, you can't say that. Wherever you rub, you get it. That's it. Which means, so generally, everywhere Atma pervades. That's why, which gives example beautifully, to the end of the nails. That is why, until the nails, nail is the part which you can cut. Even beyond nail also Atma is. But for our understanding, it is said here. So, generally it obtains. But when Atma obtains generally, Samanyataya Yada Vartate Atma, when it's a Samanya Vrittihi of the Atma pervading the entire being, the Atma is not recognizable. Isn't it? Atma is non-recognizable. In sleep, Atma is present or not? Atma is... How can Atma be not all-pervasive? It must be there. But it is, where is it? Where is not, you should ask. Which part of the being, Atma, is not? Mind, sense organs, physical body, toes, fingers, nose? No. Everywhere. Atma is very, attains generally, pervading the whole being. But it is not recognizable. That is why the person is like the dead body, isn't it? In real dead body also, Atma is there what? Generally. I can extend this to what now? What about the furnitures, non-living things? Atma is there generally. Okay, the absolute reality is there pervading everything in and through. The non-living things, the mountains, the rivers, the space, everywhere Atma is there. But how you can say in a human being also what now? Generally, kind of samanya vrittihi, non-recognizable. It is there. As pure knowledge. As pure means non-recognizable. But when it's recognizable, it must be there. When the fire, when you rub against the arani, the fire comes, then the rubbing, the mathanam, no? Arani mathanam, only nimittam for the fire to manifest. Isn't it? The fire is not created by the churning. Fire is only brought to manifestation. Isn't it? Similarly here also, Atma comes to manifestation. Atma becomes, when there is manifestation of the knowledge. So then the general availability means, generally obtaining means being pure knowledge, non-recognizable. When the manifestation of knowledge means recognizable. So pure knowledge, generally obtaining Atma as pure knowledge, is non-recognizable. Manifest knowledge is available for recognition. When there is manifestation of knowledge, okay, in terms of I am, in a thought, then there is also manifestation of knowledge from a thought as what? The world is. Then what happens immediately? Then when there is knowledge I am, knowledge the world is, I tell you, all these sense powers, when the mind is functional, okay, when all these sense powers start functioning, the seeing takes place, hearing takes place, smelling takes place, you know, tasting takes place, is possible. All the powers are functional. All the functions are possible. Even the breathing, you are aware of the breathing also. And not only sense powers, the physical activity is also possible. Isn't it? Body is not lined in anymore. When you are walking, please listen to me carefully. When you are seeing, who is seeing here? Seeing power is seeing, isn't it? So who is the seer? The seer is the seeing power. Jnana Indriyam is involved in the function of seeing. The Shrotra Indriyam is involved in the function of hearing. Grana Indriyam is involved in the function of smelling. The Rasana Indriyam is involved in the function of tasting. The Sparsha Indriyam is involved in the function of touching. Each sense power is involved in its corresponding function. So who is the Shrota? Who is the Drashta? Who is the... Isn't it? So mind is involved in the function of thinking. So the Drashta, the seer, is the seeing power. That which sees is the seer, isn't it? The seeing power is the seer. Hearing power is the hearer. Power is, isn't it? Now, Drashta, seer, Shrota, hearer. Okay, you can say the one who smells, the one who tastes, the one who touches. Is it clear now? Now, the function is possible means only when there is manifestation of knowledge, all of them function. When there is no manifestation, the powers are there. The powers are non-functional. Is it clear now? Therefore, when it is there, understand, oh, I am, means what? That knowledge, I am, is what? Specifically, isn't it? Atma is available specifically in terms of I am. Atma is available in specifically in terms of this is. As though. And Atma is available specifically as what? As function of hearing, seeing, function of hearing. Is it clear now? Don't see the Atma directly. Please understand, don't see the Atma directly, but to understand the Atma Chaitanyam, Atma, the consciousness being manifest. You recognize the reality through its manifestation. Understand? You recognize? Atma, the all-pervasive reality, is available for recognition not as Atma, but through its manifestation. Recognizable through its manifestation. Is it clear now? Now, here, the generally obtaining Atma is not recognizable, but specifically obtaining Atma is recognizable. Oh, the seer. In fact, what does Atma do? Atma is only the witness consciousness. Atma is not involved in any of the functions. But still, without the Atma, no function is possible. Therefore, we can say, the one who is the seer is Atma. The hearer is Atma. The one who smells is Atma. The one who tastes is Atma. And not only this now. What about other actions? Physical, running, jumping, sitting, getting up, eating, talking. Not only the functions or the subtle powers, also the actions on the part of the physical parts also. And now, each, when you're walking, a specific manifestation, specifically available as the one who walks. And sitting, specifically available. Who is that one who's involved in the act of sitting now? Because of whose blessing sitting is possible? Atma. And specifically, as the one who sits. Is it? As the one who eats, as the one who drinks, as the one who sleeps, as the one who sees, as the one who hears, as the one who tastes. Is it clear now? It is the Visesha Vrittihi. And when specifically obtains Atma, no, available for recognition through its manifestation, isn't it? Atma being manifest is recognizable through the functions, through the activities. Atma being present generally is non-recognizable when the functions are not there, when there is no manifestation. Is it clear? The Shankara says, now that is fine, specifically available for recognition, through manifestation, then not generally also available, obtains. Generally obtains, specifically obtains. Recognizably obtains, non-recognizably obtains. Obtains, Atma is, that is the important thing. Now, as what now? We can say, okay, now the question comes, who is the Sakshi then? Okay? Atma is there as the very Sakshi. When the knowledge I am is there, Atma is. I am is not there, Atma is. Mind is blank, Atma is. Mind is functional, Atma is. Which means, Atma is there very much as the Sakshi, isn't it? Therefore, who is the Sakshi? We have to say, I am the Sakshi. So, I am the Sakshi, this knowledge is already there. Is it clear now? But what this, who this Sakshi is, how this Sakshi is not known. I am the Sakshi is always there. This time-wise, limitless, spatially limitless, all-pervasive, eternal, Atma is all the time there specifically and generally obtains. And it is as the witness is there. But how is there? See, it is not there, not known. Now the question comes, why should we know this now? Who the witness is? We can simply understand, it's enough if we understand this much. Atma obtained specifically or recognizably. Atma obtained generally. It's enough. Why should I know anything more than that? The question may come. This is where Vedanta comes in the picture. We don't need to study Vedanta. We don't need Vedanta. We may have all these things. The problem comes when, listen now. How does samsara come into the picture now? Now next step. Until now what is said, subject matter of the previous class. Now I made it very clear, isn't it? It was not very clear last class. But a lot of disturbance. Now the present class, I'm coming to a new class now. So how does samsara, what is samsara then? What do we mean by being bound by limitations? Being bound by emotions, sorrow, grief, anger, pain. What does it mean by saying being bound? Who is bound here? If I am the witness, I am the knower, and I am the Atma means, and what is bondage? Why there is bondage then? Is it clear? What is bondage? What do you mean by bondage? Sambandha, samsaraha. What is this transmigratory life? So here, now, it goes one step again. It is made very clear. See, when this Atma, when this absolute reality, all pervasive, timeless reality, implied by the term Atma, being all pervasive, nature being all pervasive, it obtains generally, fine. But when there is manifestation, obtains specifically. Why does it do it? That is the nature of the Atma. Generally obtains non-recognizably. When there is manifestation, specifically obtains recognizably. That's the nature, that's how it is. But samsara comes when? Now we have to understand, when there is manifestation of the Atma, specifically obtains, there is no distance between the thought or the Atma, distance between the sense power or the Atma, there is no distance between the body or the Atma. The body, mind, sense, physical body, sense powers, the powers of organs of actions, the physiological functions, every thought which forms part of the mind, the entire mind, all of them, what out? Inseparable from the Atma. Atma is inseparably there, which means closest, nearest proximity. There is no distance between Atma and the body mind complex. What is the distance between the Atma and the seeing power? What is the distance between Atma and the hearing power? What is the distance between Atma and the power of smelling? What is the distance between Atma and the pranas? What is the distance between Atma and the body or every cell? No distance. All pervasive. Therefore, there can't be any distance. Is it clear now? And because of this closest, nearest proximity, non-distanceability, like there's no distance between water and the wave, isn't it? There's no distance. The function of the power, function of each power is superimposed upon the Atma. The function of the, you know, when this manifestation means, so thinker, the thoughts come, is it? The thinker, thinking is the function of mentation, is it? And this is thinking, therefore the mind is involved in this function of thinking, is a part of this function by itself. And that is superimposed upon the Atma. Of course, Atma is not the thinker. But without Atma, thinking is not possible. Therefore, we can say the thinker is Atma if you say it's okay, right. No way. Because thinking is not possible without the blessing of Atma in terms of its presence. The thinker is Atma, we say it's correct, no problem. But the problem is, we don't say thinker is Atma. We take Atma is the thinker. I am the thinker. I am the witness. But I don't know who that witness is. I don't know who I am. But I am, isn't it? Therefore what I say, I am the thinker. Now, next. Similarly here, without the blessing of Atma, the seeing any function is not possible. But what happens now? Because identity. Atma identifies with every power. Therefore, if we say seer is Atma, hearer is Atma, the one who smells is Atma, the one who tastes is Atma, one who enjoys is Atma, if we say no problem. We say Atma is the seer, Atma is the hearer, Atma is the one who enjoys. So Atma is given this all superimposed. Is it clear? Now, not only with sense powers, now come to physical body also. Body means what now? I am the runner, I am the one who, I am the eater. And with physical body is associated with all forms of relations. Mother, I am a mother, I am a father, I am a sister, I am a friend, isn't it? There cannot be friend or mother or father or brother or any relationship without the Atma. But Atma is free from all relationships. But what happened? Because of the identity, because of the close proximity, mistake, no? Then all these are attributed to Atma. So there are relationships, relations associated to the physical body are superimposed upon the Atma. And also the limitations of the sense powers are superimposed upon the Atma. All the dharmas of the body maintenance complex, the attributes of the body maintenance complex, the functions, the actions, the nature, the limitations, the problems associated with the body maintenance complex become superimposed upon the Atma. Because of the closeness, because of the proximity, because of the inseparability. Is it clear? Now, this, here Upanishad introduces a new technical term. What is the technical term? Upadhihi. Say? Upadhihi. Single is Upadhihi. Upadhayaha plural. What is Upadhihi? See, all these different powers and different parts where Atma obtains specifically recognizably available recognition, isn't it? There they all become the upadhis. A physical body is an upadhi, sense powers are upadhi, each and every sense power is an upadhi, each and every power of action is what? Upadhi. The physiological functions are upadhis. Every emotion is upadhi. The thought is upadhi. Intellect is upadhi. Is it clear now? What is upadhi? So upadhihi, upa means near. Upadhihi is that which throws, transfers its attributes. Not physically throwing. That which transfers its attributes. Not by doing anything. Just being around. Being near. But really, no. It's called Upadhi. So falsely, as though it transfers the attributes to that which is near. It's called Upadhi. And that to which, upon which the attributes are transferred, it's called Upahitam. I can say here, Atma is Upahitam Chaitanyam. And the body, mind, complex are Upadhis. Upadayaha. Upadhi Upahitam. I give the example here. Suppose for something to... See, for the error, error to take place. I'm telling you how samsara comes in the picture, okay? For the error to take place. For attributes be transferred. Then some situation must be then. How it is possible? Why this happens? Why this happens? Means definitely, the Upadhi and Upahitam are two factors which are inseparable, very, very closely there. Which are much nearer to each other. Understand? Inseparably together, in fact. Or even say, you can say, they are very, very close. Closest proximity. And second thing, the Upadhi's attributes are transferred to the Upahitam. And the Upadhi's attributes were seemingly transferred, not really transferred. And Shastram, traditional example given is Japa Kusumam and Spatika Patram. Spatikam. Spatikam is a crystal. Japa Kusumam is a hibiscus, red hibiscus, a traditional example. They give. If we keep hibiscus flower very close to this crystal container, something, really the red color of the hibiscus really is not really transferred. The container does not become red color, but it looks red. You can give modern example. You can take any number of examples, that pebbles, other, all these things you can take. I'm just giving an original traditional example. So the spaticum becomes, the crystal container becomes red. It doesn't really become red, but it looks red, which means the hibiscus, color of the hibiscus is as though transferred to the crystal container. Even if you put some marbles in a white glass thing, the glass looks colorful, isn't it? The marbles color are transferred to the glass container. Not really transferred. It seems as though it become transferred. So the glass container inside which you put lots of colorful, the marbles, the whole container becomes colorful. But if you see, really speaking, it doesn't become colorful, it looks colorful, it seems to be colorful, because of it, what happens, the multicolors of the marbles, placed inside the container, they transfer their colors to the container. Not really, as though, seemingly, the seeming transference of the colors of the marbles to the glass container. Therefore, we say what these marbles are, the Upadhis, and the container is the Upahitam. They're different. But here, Atma is the Upahitam. Body, mind, compass are called Upadhis. Atma really does not become the thinker, does not become the seer, does not become the hearer. Understand? Atma does not become the doer or performer or enjoyer. Atma doesn't become at all. But as though Atma has become seer, doer, enjoyer. Which means the seer qualification, doer qualification, Brahma qualification, all these qualifications, the status of being an agent, the status of being an agent of seeing, hearing, etc., all these are what now? Supreme, falsely transferred to Atma. Not really. Because the closest proximity. But what happens? Then I am the thinker, I am the etc. What happens when this identity comes? So when this identity with the specific, specifically recognizably available, obtaining Atma, when this specific, then identity comes, then what happens? When I say, I am a thinker, then simultaneously, I isolate myself as a thinker, and I negate, no, I negate myself being the rest of the things. That means I am not the seer, I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. When I say I am doer, I am only the doer, I am not other things. So all other things become negated in every time my identity is with the one specific thing. When the I is identified, I the witness identified with the one given specific, isn't it, recognizable thing, then the rest of things become non-negated. Is it clear now? In identity, what happens? I become a limited individual. This is how Paramatma gets the Jiva status. I think I made very, very clear. Have I? Paramatma hasn't become Jiva. Paramatma has become as though Jiva. This is how Paramatma becomes, attains a Jiva status. Purely because of the identity. Because of the superimposition of Upadhi Dharmas upon the false transference of the Upadhi Dharmas upon the Upahitam Chaitanyam. Upahitam Upadhi. This is how Jivatam comes. Okay, once I am a limited individual, when the identity is with the physical body, when I say I am the knower, I know only this much. I am a thinker, identity is only with the given mind. I am the doer means definitely other things what other actions are negated. I am not other things. This is called what? Becoming a limited individual. This as a limited individual, now what happens? The want comes. This I am small. I am the sense of being a wanting person. The want comes into the picture only when there is identity as an individual. Individualized, isn't it? Identity with every specific every specific function. Identity with every specific function makes this all-pervasive Atma, the total Atma, an individualized. This is how I am an individual. The individuality is centered on I. Is it clear now? From here what happens? The want comes. When the want comes into the picture, then one has to do things. And in doing means involves a struggle. And the struggle comes, then things do not fulfill all, whatever we do, they do not really satisfy, fulfill all our desires and all our wants. our wants do not get fulfilled. Naturally, it results in pain. This is how samsara comes to the picture. He doesn't elaborate on too much on this because Brihadaranyaka need not unnecessarily go back and research on these things. It's nicely, there's a different way of developing teaching. This is how samsara is superimposed upon, the individuality is superimposed upon Paramatma. The Jivatma is superimposed upon the Paramatma. Paramatma has the enjoys the status of being the Jiva, this is how. Now what is the bondage? Now how to become free? How to resolve the Jivatvam? How to convert? Now Paramatma has become Jivatma like this. Now how to free oneself now from limitations and problems? So Jivatma has to convert into again Paramatma. Now conversion itself is not possible because Jiva Paramatma has never become Jivatma. Paramatma is always Paramatma only. Jiva is only a status attributed because of the specific availability and identity with the specific functions. Isn't it? Now, how to convert? Jivatma need not be converted. Paramatma alone is there as the Jiva. That has to be recognized. So, Paramatma, Jivatma, Swarupa, Aikyam needs to be understood. This is how Upanishad prepares us to go to the Mahavakyam later on to Aham Brahmasmi. Is it clear now? Until it was very clear. Now, the next step is, so now first thing is, so what should I do now? Okay, don't have identity with a specific function from here. What should I take it as? Atma. So, Paramatma, one should see the witness being distinct from the witnessed seeing, hearing powers. The witness being distinct from the witnessed thoughts. Witness being distinct from the witnessed powers. Witness being distinct from the witnessed physiological functions. Witness being distinct from the witnessed body, mind, sense complex. As we've seen, isn't it? Which means we need to know how to distinguish the witness from the witnessed. It is not physical distinguishing. It's not physical separation of the witness from the witnessed. It is the cognitive separation of the witness from the witnessed. Cognitively distinguish the witness from the witnessed. Intellectually, you have to separate it. It means that witness is nothing but Atma. This must be dwelt upon. And for which, here ends actually the Pravesha Shruti teaching ends here. Here ends, okay? No more discussion on Pravesha Shruti. It has brought us to this extent. Is it very clear now? Now, what is the next thing? Next thing, now Upanishad is going to introduce a short sentence which is like an aphorism. It's a statement revealing the knowledge. A statement revealing the knowledge. What? Revealing knowledge means what? Revealing the fact. Revealing the fact of Jiva being Paramatma. Actually, there's a proper Mahavakyam which explicitly tells Jivatma, you are Brahma. Isn't it? Like you had going to teach Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the witness, the consciousness, am the limitless reality which pervades everything implied by the term Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi has to come later on as a proper Mahavakyam. Even before going to the proper Mahavakyam, there is a simple sentence statement which is called Vidya Sutram. Say?
Vidya.
Now after this Anupravesha Shruti, unfoldment, we are entering into what now? Vidyasutram. So there, what is the main sentence there? Atma ityeva upasita. Don't worry, I had to tell a lot of Sanskrit word sentences. Anupravesha, I had to tell you. I want to prepare you first, before even I take you to the actual text. A lot of preparation I'm doing. May one see the witness being Atma. Witness and Atma are not two different things. Witness is the Atma. Atma is what? No, Paramatma. Atma is the only Atma, absolute self. So it's called Vidyasutram. And here onwards, one discussion on Anupravesha Shruti is over. Now discussion on Vidyasutram begins. You really enjoy it. In fact, the Vidyasutram is a very important statement. Why? Because it already reveals the oneness of the truth. Atma being Brahman, which means it is preparing us for later on Mahavakyam Aham Brahma Asmi. It is also Mahavakyam. Vidyasutram itself is a Mahavakyam. Atme te upasita means, when you say, I, the witness, you say, who is the witness? Who is the knower here? If you ask, will definitely anybody will say what? I am the witness. How do you know that you are the witness? I am the witness. How do you know that you are? I know I am. Thank God. You are, you know you are, is a self-evident, isn't it? And who is the, who else is the other than you witnessing your own mind? Who is witnessing your mind? You yourself are the witness. Therefore, you have to say, I am the witness. I am the Sakshi. I am the knower. You are very clear about it. Is there any doubt about it? I am the knower is very clear. I am is very clear. I am the witness is very clear. I am the knower is very clear. To know this much, don't need Shastram. But who am I the witness? Who is this witness? What is this witness? That is what needs to be known. Why? For us to distinguish cognitively, intellectually, witness from the witnessed, in spite of the inseparable closeness, the proximity, we can distinguish this. We distinguish and see, you will see there is neither the world, nor is I, nor is anything. Like in Panchadesh yesterday, I was saying, we are going to see actually, there still was some disturbance. You can see everything as what? If you ask, if suppose somebody comes and asks us, what is wave? What will you say? Water in a given form is wave. It's water. So, in a clear vision, you can say what? What is space? Brahman. With the form and name space. What is air? Atma, the former name, air. What is fire? Atma, the former name, fire. What is earth? Atma, the former name. Why? You will have understood how through the manifestation, by recognizing the Atma through its manifestation, you can understand how, isn't it? By recognizing the Atma by its specific availability, you can understand how Atma is there generally also. So you have to go from known to the unknown, okay? You can see this fact. This is what is the completely the vision has to change. That has to come. Oh, everything is Atma, that must come. So So who is this? Who is this I, the witness, the knower? I am the knower, I am the witness is very clear. But what this witness is not very clear. Not at all clear. Not very clear, not at all known. When it becomes very clear what this witness is, who the knower is, what I am, then I am Atma. Atme te upasita. When you see this witness is another than Atma, the all pervasive, timeless, spatially limitless, sarvagata Atma, nitya Atma is the witness here. The witness is nitya Atma, we understand. Then I is resolved in what? I is resolved in, the witness is resolved in all-pervasive, timeless reality. And then you can see the witness becomes distinguished from the witnessed. Not only that, distinguishing it, you see there is no witnessed other than the witness. The witnessed is the witness. Okay? Everything is what? You may be able to see it later on. So that's a gradual. It's a very gradual and slow process. So for this, now with this, the actual Anupravesha discussions all over. If you have any doubts in what I've been talking, please feel free to ask me. Okay? I'll clarify your doubts. But next, we have to enter into the next Vidya Sutram. We'll start from the next class. Now I can be faster.
Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.